Boyd Canyon Springs. How you guys doing? Fantastic. High school group in the house. How you guys doing? Good to see you, Megan. How are you? How was your honeymoon? So great. Chad and Megan back here today. So glad to have you guys. Awesome. All right. Here's how I want to start. I want to give you four facts that you did not know about shepherds, but you always wanted to know. First is this. Did you know that shepherds were forbidden in the land of Israel? That if you were a shepherd, you weren't allowed to be in the city. You were only allowed to be out in the plains, out in the desert with your sheep. Because that's what people thought about shepherds. Secondly, you know that shepherds were deprived of all civil rights. So clearly, a shepherd could never have a political office. But not only that, you couldn't stand up in court and testify if you were a shepherd. So for example, if 10 shepherds saw who killed your buddy, you and your buddy are both out of luck because no one would listen to those shepherds. That's what people thought about shepherds. Then if you wanted to buy wool, milk, or a baby sheep from a shepherd, that people would assume that it was stolen goods. That's what people would assume about it. And so it was illegal for you to buy any of those things from a shepherd. Lastly, Judaism has an oral law, and in that oral law it describes shepherds as incompetent and says no one should ever feel obligated to rescue a shepherd who has fallen into a pit. So if there's a shepherd in a pit, you can walk right by. You don't have to do anything to help out a shepherd. That's who shepherds were. Now, those things are, you know, four good things to know about shepherds, and if you were hoping to come in and know four good things about it. If this is ever on Family Feud, you're going to be stoked that you knew that. But that's not how we think about that. You know, we think about the Christmas story, we think about shepherds and their white coats and their little robes, and then they have that stick that has that, you know, curve at the top, right? That's what they use to get people off the stage. That's what a shepherd is. Next week we're going to have our little children's play, and they're going to be little cute little kids dressed up as shepherds, and they're going to look nice and cute, and that's what we think shepherds are. And that's a possibility that the shepherds in the Bible were nice, simple, religious, God-fearing people. It's a possibility. But I have to tell you, it is very unlikely. Look, we don't take jobs if we know that when we take them, people will instantly consider us a loser, an outsider, and incompetent. Nobody takes that job. The only reason anybody would ever become a shepherd is because it was their last resort, because they're unemployable any other place. That's the only reason why. These are not people with long resumes and great SAT scores. They became shepherds because that's all that they could become. Okay, those are four facts about shepherds. Now, let me prove this point to you by giving you a couple facts about sheep, okay? I'm going to give you three facts about sheep. One, sheep are stupid. Really, really dumb creatures. This is a story, and it's recently happened in southern Turkey. There were some shepherds who neglected their sheep. They had 1,500 sheep, and they neglected them, and one of them jumped off a cliff. And the sheep just kept coming. And that day, 400 sheep died jumping off a cliff at a cost of $74,000 to the shepherds. Now, that's not to say that 400 sheep jumped off the cliff. No, they all jumped off the cliff. It's just that only 400 died because the first 400, after they dove off the cliff, became this great, big, fluffy sheep ball that broke their fall. And that's why they didn't all die. Sheep are just dumb and hard to work with. They're also directionless. If you took a group of sheep and you put them in a pasture and it had drinking water and it had grass to nibble on and every other place was desert and you brought it to them, sheep would ultimately just all wander off. You have to micromanage sheep, okay? It's the only way. Not only are they directionless, but sheep are also defenseless. And let me just say this about sheep. Just about every other animal, you put it out in the wild and it can fight for itself for, at least for a little while, you know? Like your cat could do okay for a while. I don't know that my dog can do okay for very long. I think he would be in the going through the digestive tract of a coyote really soon. But at least you'd have a shot for a while. Not so sheep. When you let a sheep go into nature, you are just giving nature a snack. That's all you're doing. Now that you know that about sheep, now that you know that about shepherds, let me read you this. If you have a Bible, open up to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke. If you need a Bible, there we have some in back. Please feel free to grab one, bring it home. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census would be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went there to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, as was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths. She placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. That is the single most famous story in the world. That's it. Number one. That is Christmas. And if you are a Christian person, this is what that means to you. It means that the God of the universe took the first step to be in relationship with you. This is everything. The only other story that's anywhere near this would be Easter, and it's really just the conclusion of this story. Now, even if you're not a Christian person, you have to admit that this story is the most famous ever. Because there are more stories told about it. There are more specials told about it. There are more songs written about it. Just this morning, I looked up on iTunes, Silent Night. It just goes on and on and on and on and on and on. The artists that cover it, I just have a short list. Willie Nelson, Clay Aiken, woo! Yo-Yo Ma, The Judds, Los Lonely Boys, George Strait, Straight No Chaser, Mariah Carey, Stevie Nicks, Destiny's Child, and yes, Bon Jovi does Silent Night. You cannot find a story that is more renowned, more important than this one. And the very first people to ever get word that this was happening in the world are introduced this story, verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Shepherds. Dirty, incompetent, thieving losers. Shepherds. Now, first, I have to tell you this, and any first-year marketing student will tell you this. Telling the shepherds first is a mistake. Because that's not how it's done. If you want word to go viral about a story, that's not what you do. You tell famous people, you tell people that know millions, you tell people that are widely respected. Those are the kind. You want to sell shoes? You get LeBron James to wear your shoes. You want to sell cars, ladies? You get Matthew McConaughey to sell cars. That's right. You do not get thieving, low-life, incompetent, unemployable people. Now, why in the world, out of everybody in the whole world, would God tell the shepherds first? Here's why. Because God does not need LeBron James and Tiger Woods, and he does not need Matthew McConaughey. to tell his story. He chose shepherds, and shepherds were his first choice. And I know you're thinking, well, but what about wise men, right? What about wise men? Wise men came, most scholars believe, 2 years after Jesus was born. He was 2 years old. No? Shepherds. Why? Because these are the people he always chooses. They are always his first choice. To this band of misfits, God sent the angels to give them this message that will change the world. Verse 9, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. That's the message. That's Christmas. God sits the shepherds down and says, I want you to understand four things. First, don't be afraid. Secondly, I am bringing you good news. Third, you will find great joy. And this message that I'm giving you, it's for everybody. Let me ask you this. Are you afraid? Is there anything in your life that you are afraid of today? You know, I'm afraid of, you know, what college I'm going to get to. I'm afraid of what grade I'm going to get. I'm afraid of what's going to happen to my kids. I'm afraid what the future holds for me in my job. I don't know how my marriage is going to turn out. I'm afraid about my kid. He seems sick. I don't know what's going on. I'm afraid. God comes this season and says, do not be afraid. Do any of you need good news? You're tired of bad news. You had so much bad news, and that injury, and that illness, and this financial problem, and that teacher, and that coach, and I'm tired of it. I said, man, I bring you good news, and it will bring you great joy. Belly laugh joy. Joy that will not only come into your life, but it will fill you up. That's the message of Christmas, and it's for all people. So here's how we're going to start. I want you to just take a moment and bow your head. We're going to spend a month looking at these four statements and how they can change our lives, but the only way that's going to happen is if God comes into this room. But you just bow your head. And just take a moment. Say, God, would you show up today? Would you speak to me today? Dear God, I pray that you speak to each of us individually where we're at. That you put aside the distractions that we walked in with. God, I believe if we listen to you today, this would change us. We would be different people. I would be a different person if I was able to put this into my life and really believe it. And so, God, we pray that you would do something in this room in these next few minutes. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, today we're going to start off with the first message, and that is this: do not be afraid. For the last couple weeks, I've been working on this message. I've been asking different people, you know, what are you afraid of? And I start off real simple. What was your biggest fear when you were growing up? Because people don't usually want to start on their biggest fear now. So what's your biggest fear growing up? So here's what I'm going to have you do. Actually do it together as a group. Why don't you take a minute and turn to the person next to you and answer this. What was your biggest fear when you were a little kid?
Okay.
Go.
Thank you.
good.
All right, so anyone tell me where, tell me your fear. What was it? Anybody? Yeah. Oh, not remembering your homework. I still have that nightmare. I didn't even know I signed up for this class. I was halfway through the semester. What am I going to do? Okay, anybody else? Yeah. What? Sharks. That's a good one. Good, 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 good. Anybody else? Barbershop. Yeah, baby. That is fantastic. He's a kid with a hat on. That's really good. Okay, I got some good answers over here. Anybody want to share with me? Okay, Ferris's was a good one. It was walking out of the grocery store attached to wrong daddy's legs. I thought that was good. I also got, here's a good one I got from the junior hires this morning. You know what they said more than anything? Shots. Shots. You know, when you're small and you have lots of fears, fear that there's going to be a monster under the bed. Somebody said fear of what's in the closet. Anybody have to keep the closet door shut when you go to bed at night? Fear what's under the bed. Over time, those fears get bigger. And I would ask people, you know, probably some of the people closest to me, I'd say, what is it now? And these are some of the more grown-up fears. I'm afraid of what's going to happen to my finances. I'm afraid for my work. I'm afraid that the work that I'm pursuing isn't my passion. I'm following something that's passionless. Do you know the number one fear was? Older people. I'm afraid of something happening to my children. You know, fears are all over the place. I thought this was good. This is Mike Birbiglia said this. I was living with a girl for a while. We worried about different things. One day I was like, what do you fear the most? And she was like, I fear you'll meet someone else and you'll leave me and I'll be all alone. And she was like, what do you fear the most? And I was like, bears. You know, we're not going to spend time talking about fear of bears and spiders and shots and what have you, because those are all temporary fears. And those aren't what the shepherds feared. It wasn't the kind of fear that they had. If you look at verse 9, the Bible says, the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel of the Lord said, do not be afraid. That word terrified, you want to underline, write this in the column. Terrified means to be so scared that you are put to flight. This is run away and hide scared. This isn't just something that will come and go in your life. It's something that will make, that will literally change your steps. Influence you so much that it changes your steps. And the older you get, those fears don't go away. The consequences just get bigger. I read a couple of books, and in one of the books I got, this is actually a book on tape. I was driving someplace, I decided to put it in the car. And it started out, this is the very first paragraph in this book. We live in the age of anxiety. In any given year, about 18% of Americans will suffer from an anxiety disorder. This is twice the rates of that of depression. Over the course of a lifetime, the number who will suffer from anxiety rises to close to 30%. These are remarkable statistics. Just as clinical depression is a lot more severe problem than people just feeling down now and then, clinical anxiety is a lot more severe than being subject to everyday worries. And it was at that point that I started laughing and I turned off the book on tape, because I'm thinking to myself, if you did not have an anxiety disorder when you started reading this book, you had one now. And the ironic thing is this book was called, the title is Anxiety Free. It's nothing but build anxiety in life. I read several books this last week about fear, but you know what? I decided to stick to this one. Because in this book, there are 336 different verses on fear. So this last week, I read all 336 verses on fear to find out what God has to say about fear. And you know what I found out? First thing I found out is there's no avoiding it. It is who we are. I think that's why God puts it in the book 336 times, because it is an emotion everybody gets. We all feel it, whether it's for our kids or for our homework or from getting beat up at school or from our boss. We all have some kind of fear. It's the language of our life. It's the currency of man. We fear. I also believe that there's no way you can get rid of it, but I do believe that we can choose who we fear or what we fear. And it comes down to this. After 336 verses in the Bible, here's your choice. You can fear man, or you can fear God. Amen. Now, let me give you a definition of fear. You know, because people think of fear as, you know, and that's not the kind of fear. We don't want to have that kind of relationship with God. What fear means is, it's to respect or to revere something. Let me put it in a way I think that you'll understand, all right? And this can be true of men or God. Fear is to place enough importance on a person or an idea so that it influences your behavior. It makes a difference in how you live. It changes your steps. It moves you from this direction to that direction. And the reality is, you're going to either do that with men or you're going to do it with God. Now, I know some of you are going, I don't fear people. That's not who I am. Think about it. How many times have people influenced your life? How many regrets do you have in your life based on what other people said to you or what other people will think about you? You know, if I don't do what they say, well, you know, what will my friends say? What will the guys on my basketball team say? What will the girls on my soccer team? What will the people in my frat say? What will the girls in my sorority say? What will the guys at work say? What's my boyfriend going to say? If I don't do this, what's my girlfriend going to say? What are the people at the party going to say? How many regrets do we have in our life based on simply the influence of the people around us? Think about it like this. How many things have you bought just because of what other people say? If I don't look like this and wear these jeans and those shoes and this shirt and put this in my hair and cut it this way, style it that way, go to the right barber. Who goes to a barber, man? If it is a barber, it's the wrong barber, I'm telling you. How many people, I mean, how many things in our life, how much debt do we have because of what other people say? And you think, well, that's not influenced me either. Are you kidding me? Look at the way that we dress. We all pretty much look the same. And I got high school kids here to prove it to me. Because high school's the place, right? And now tell me if this is true, high school kids. Most everybody looks within the same basic style, but you have some kids that say, we're going to be different. We're going to go against the grain. And what do they look like? They all look the same. Right? It's influence. We do all these things. We wonder, if I don't do this, someone's going to disrespect me. We fear that we're not good enough. We fear that we're not good looking enough. We fear that we're not going to be seen as valuable. We fear that somebody's going to call us a loser, a nerd, a religious freak, a virgin, unsuccessful, or incompetent. Let's get real, people. We fear people. And it always leads to trouble. Proverbs 29:25 says this. I think it's up on our screen. Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. How many times have you been tripped up, worried, up late because of what somebody said? Psalm 56. In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust, and am not afraid. What can man do to me? It's the other side of it. That's where God wants us to get. God says, don't fear. Don't listen to those voices. But you know what? Look, I didn't have to read that to you out of the Bible, did I? You know that. We've all been hurt by people like that. Now, some people are nice and kind and forgiving, but most people are petty and unforgiving and judgmental. That's just the way they are. Have you ever heard this phrase? You never get a second chance to make a first impression. Have you ever heard that? What that means is if you don't make a good first impression, some people will never get over it. They will never allow for your growth. They will never look into it further. They'll never look into your life and find out what you're really like. Because that's people. People can be that way. People can know you for 20 years and they don't treat you how you are now. They remember how you were then, and that's how they see you. This is life. This is what it means to fear people. This is what it means to live your life wondering what everybody thinks of you. And quite honestly, some of you know this, it's exhausting. God has a different plan. You know, when I read through the Bible, more times than not, the word fear is used to fear God. And I know people hate that. They don't like that sound. They want us to redefine fear because we don't want to think of being frightened of our God. Look, let me show you what it means to fear God. I'm going to just, there are going to be a bunch of verses on the screen. I'm going to read a lot to you. This is what it means to fear God. Deuteronomy 5:29. Oh, that their hearts would be inclined to fear me and keep all my commandments always, so that it might go well with them and their children forever. Psalm 103. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on who? Those who fear him. Psalm 103:17. From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children. It's a long one. Psalm 112. Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. Their children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses. Their righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright. For those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous, good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They'll be remembered forever. They'll have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. In the end, they'll look in triumph on their foes. All those people that said all those things about you, you fear God. In the end, you will triumph over your foes. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. The righteous endure forever. Their horn will be lifted high in honor. Now, that last line has been the hardest for me to understand in my life. That God would love me so much that he would want to honor me. But that is who he is.
Right.
Proverbs 19. The fear of the Lord leads to life. Then one rests content, untouched by trouble. What do you get when you fear God? I'll tell you what you get when you fear God. It'll go well with you and your kids. The Lord will have compassion on you. The Lord's love is with those people that fear him. Their children will be mighty. Wealth and riches are in their houses. Even in darkness, light dawns for those people. The righteous will never be shaken. They'll have no fear of bad news. You fear God, your heart's secure. You have no fear. You look in triumph over your foes, lift high in honor. You'll rest content, untouched by trouble. That's what it means to fear God. And I got to ask you a question. Who are you going to fear? You know, stop fearing what everybody thinks about you, and stop fearing about what fashion is the latest, and stop fearing what people will think about what you drive and what you look like and whether or not you're successful enough at your work.
Hey.
And fear all that, or are you going to fear a God that loves you, allows for your growth, sees you for all your potential? Got one more verse for you. By the way, if you look on our website, under the message page, there are 9 pages of verses on fearing God that I would just recommend that you go find, but this one was my favorite. Jeremiah 32, 38 says this, "They'll be my people, I'll be their God. I will give them singleness of heart and action so that they will always fear me, and that all will go well with them for their children after them." Singleness of heart, singleness of action. Rather than you wondering what he thinks and she thinks and that person thinks and my neighbor thinks or my teacher thinks, I now worry about one. What do you think, God? I'm going to fear you. I'm going to allow you to influence me. I'm going to allow you to decide my steps. I'm going to fear if I run from you what's going to happen to me, and fear so much that I'm going to want to follow you. That's the person that's going to influence my life more than anybody. And this is where you end up. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will never stop doing good to them. I will inspire them to fear me so that they will never turn away from me. I will rejoice in doing them good and will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and all my soul. Who are you going to fear? Now, I know some of you are on the fence. You know, this idea of following God, giving him your whole life, that's a big one. It's very countercultural, and yes, people will make fun of you and will say things about you that you will not like. It is hard. You know who it was hard for? It was hard for the shepherds, and they didn't buy in instantly. They weren't like, they didn't see the angels go, yeah, that sounds great. You know what? They did their research. If your Bible's still open, Luke chapter 2. Verse 15. When the angels left them and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Let's go check it out." So they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning about what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said. And Mary treasured all these things in her heart, pondered them. And the shepherds returned, now glorifying God, praising God for all the things that they had learned and seen, which were just as they had been told. Let me tell you something. Let me make you that promise. If you fear God and you put him first and you listen to him and not the kid guys in your frat or the people at your work, you will find him just as I told you. And he will be there for you. Let's take a moment. Let's pray. Hey, my phone is going off. Here's how we're going to end. Put your bow your heads. I want to make sure that we make this very clear. If you want to know this God, if you are tired of fearing everybody else, if you are tired of fearing what they'll think about you, making your decisions like that, and if you have never given your life to Jesus Christ, it begins so simply. It's a difficult decision to follow, but it begins like this. Just say, God, I give my life to you. God, I put my life in your hands. Forgive me of my sin, God. Thank you for dying on the cross. Forgive me of my sin, and I give my life to you. Now, if you prayed that, that begins a brand new life for you. We would love to know about it. You just take your little white card and check out the box, say, I made a decision for Christ, or tell one of your leaders, or tell somebody else at the church. Get some help along that journey. But that's the beginning. Made that decision when I was 14 years old, and in that moment, God changed my life. And he can do the same with you. Lord Jesus, thank you for this people. God, I pray that you would help us to learn to serve, to live for an audience of one, to not fear what everybody else says, but to fear what you say, and let you be the chief influence of our life. And I kind of pray that as they do that, that you would bless them and honor them. In your name we pray. Amen.